salut. Oh oui, that's nature intended. Don't panic.
Hi, everybody. Hang in there. Here we go. This is a song I'm working on right now. I started working on it about 10, 15 minutes ago. I was sitting here. I was bored. So I started working on this song. In the process of still creating it. So for those of you that have been listening for a long time, you know this is what I do. It's a mixture, it's a really mixed radio show. This one's called, I think I call it Cosmic Warriors. I'm doing a series of albums, putting everything into an album. So this album is called the same name, Cosmic Warriors. It does get better, I think. Like I said, I'm still working on it. You're like the first people ever to hear it. You know, and you're lucky you get to hear, get into my creative process. So anyway, this is Andy Lopez. You're listening to The Invisible Gardener. Well, actually, I'm The Invisible Gardener, and the show is called Don't Panic, It's Organic. I do a bunch of different shows. One's called What's in Your Garden. I have another show called, it's audio, I do all my, I have over 22 books, and it's an audio book show. I read the chapters of my books out loud. Then I have another show called Inner Gardening. Basically, that's where I play all these music. These music are supposed to be, these songs are inner gardening. If you've been listening to my shows, you would know that in here there's different tones and frequencies which I hide in here so that you don't hear it, but your body hears it. And then I do a couple other shows. One's called Me and My Refractometer. If you don't know what a refractometer is by now, you're going to have to listen in some more. And then, of course, I do Don't Panic, It's Organic, which is the one I've been doing like forever. And now this, I'm doing Don't Panic, It's Organic now on this station on bbsradio.com. So today we have a guest that's going to be coming on. Her name is Carrie Gillam. Did I say it right, Carrie? Carrie, right?
Carrie Gillam.
Right. She's the author of Whitewash, The Story of a Weed Killer, Cancer, and the Corruption of Science. I love that, man. I really, really do. So she's going to be on. And actually, she's right there somewhere hiding in the corner. I see it. Come out, Carrie.
Hello. Are you ready to talk?
Oh, sure. I mean, that's the silly question. I'm always ready to talk. I'm like... Boy Scout is always ready, a talker. You know, I started talking very early on in my youth. So I'm not afraid of talking. But listen, I have to tell you something. You may or may not know, but you know that Rodale got bought out, sold?
I've heard that, yes.
Yeah, and they're going to be closing down. The owners are closing them down.
That's a scary situation, isn't it?
So that's interesting to me because they're one of the few folks that could withstand any kind of assault from everybody else, you know? And they've been around so long, and who's going to step up and take their place? I mean, this is not on the list of questions, but I'm just saying, to me, that is like, I knew that was coming, you know?
Yeah, and they've been so important, I think, in helping get, you know, really important messages out there about the environment and health and organic food. And so, yeah, I don't know. Hearst, we'll see what Hearst does with it, right?
They're closing it up. They're closing up shop. They're not, the publication's not going to happen anymore. Their research center is not going to happen anymore. It's just going to close it up.
Completely, huh? It's a bad idea.
It was just kind of because the whole city, there's a city over there. Everybody lives there, basically works there, you know. So yeah. I heard it from somebody there that they're looking for work. Hey, you got something to do? I don't have a job anymore, right? They've had like 40, yeah, 50 years now.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I've heard people talking about that as well.
So I don't know. I saw it coming, and it's very suspicious, you know, in a lot of ways. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and you're seeing, I mean, I think it's part of, you're seeing a lot of big companies buy up small organic food companies. You know, the big dogs are coming in and taking control.
Yeah, because I know that the person who started it, you know, Mr. Rodeo, died, and is in the hands of the family, of the kids. And quite often, the kids don't have the same energy, the same, willingness to meet things head on as the original people who start things. That's the only thing I can think of. And maybe they got a lot of money. Maybe the pressure was so much. But it's to me, it's a shock. I mean, all this stuff that's going on in the world right now, I'm going, oh, right. Because, you know, I always relied on them to stand out amongst the crowd. I don't know where else to look for other than maybe Acres USA now, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a good one, though. Acres is a good one for sure. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I look to the Rodale Institute for a lot of helpful information, you know, all the time. Hopefully they'll still be doing their work.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they're going to be in business.
Not the Institute, even, at all?
The Institute, right. That's what I'm talking about, the Institute.
I mean, the publications, well.
I heard everything. I'm asking you, is this true? I don't know who else
we'll
to ask.
We'll have to check it out.
I don't. If you would find out, if get back to me, if it is the Institute, because I'm going, no, I can understand the publication, you know, I can understand that. It's a lot of work. The competition is so many, not with the internet, you can get so much stuff, but there, you know, they could easily do a publication, an e-publication kind of thing, you know, but anyway,
yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say, so much of their work is, that's so important to me, at least, is their research, you know, the research side. So that's what I'm looking to, and that's what I'm hoping sticks around.
I hope so too, because I have their latest publication that they did on their research. It's a PDF file, and I give that one away all the time now, because you know, all these different surveys, and you know, they say, you know, the I thought it was recent, but it turns out to be a couple of years old that Sanford did, that they said the there's no difference between conventionally grown food and organically grown food. You know, the study that I was talking about, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's an argument and debate a lot of people have tried to have, but I think it's been shown pretty clearly that there's a big difference, you know, nutritionally and even in yield and things. I mean, there's a yield drag actually associated with genetically modified crops, believe it or not. But the nutrition side and the robustness of the plant is certainly, different in terms of the advantage to conventional and non-GMO.
I love it when they said, well, you know, we studied 400 studies, and we all came to the same conclusion, right? And I'm going, so one study is based on another study, which is based on one study said, okay, we're going to go ahead and grow something. So we're going to do four plots. You know, the study talk about, they did four plots, three plots. One's a neutral, the control. One we're going to do conventionally, and one we're going to do organically, right? And then they came to the same conclusion that there's no difference. Of course, there's not going to be any difference the way they were doing it that way. You know,
yeah.
They didn't know anything about a garden. None of them was an organic farmer. I mean, if I was an organic farmer, you know, I would say, okay, fine, give me 10 acres all the way over there and let's do it for 10 years, not just this year. Right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways that research can be manipulated and spun to get the outcomes that people want to have, you know?
Right. I love it that when they say, okay, one guy says, we're going to do we understand maybe it was the seeds. So we're going to get organic seeds and we're going to get the new NutriPlot and then we're going to convention and back in the same ground and they do the same testing. Yeah, they got the same results because they're still growing in this bad soil that was there in the first place.
Right.
See, you know, so then they pass that study on. Other people study that study as if it was true. And I love the fact that I get attacked all the time as saying, we're going to starve if we have to depend on organic farming. I go, really? Right? And it's so ridiculous because nobody's taught them what the word sustainability means.
Yeah.
Right?
That's their favorite argument, I think. Feeding the world, right?
Yeah. And it's ridiculous because an organic farmer will grow more and more and more every year. The property be healthier and healthier and healthier, be producing more, the food will be better without the destruction that's going on. They don't tell you about after a while they got to move on to other soil because there's nothing alive to grow on, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the point of all of this is that we need sustainability. We need the ability to continue to grow and nurture our environment and nurture our health. And this pesticide-dependent food system isn't doing it.
We have not been very good at sustainability at all. What's the opposite of sustainability? There must be a word for that, right? What is that?
Destructiveness. Destructive.
There's got to be an opposite of everything you do.
Unsustainability.
I guess so, because that's why we've been. We've been teaching exactly how to be unsustainable. Hey, you want to see how fast we can get rid of the people on the earth and every living being? Let's do all these things. Because I wrote one of my on my blog, I wrote 10 ways to kill all living beings within 100 years. And then I changed it to 50 years, even though I'm an optimist. And it's called 10, they're called environmental boundaries. You know about those, right? Environmental boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, scientists came up with 10 environmental boundaries we're not supposed to cross. You know, clean air, clean water, radiation levels, those things, right?
And well, we've crossed them all, haven't we? I mean,
yeah, we've crossed them all. We have, if we missed one, we went back over it again, make sure that we crossed it. We've crossed every single one of them over and over, and we've broken all boundaries in terms of, well, we're all, what does this mean? it's bad, but. Going back to your book, I was yelling about Roundup when I first. I've been doing a radio show now for. I did a radio show in the service, Armed Forces Radio, and then I got in 1970. I started doing I was doing radio shows in the brick and mortar world. You know, where you drive to a studio and you pay a lot of money to be in the studio, and then they broadcast it, right? So I did that for a long time, but. When I came to California, I was doing that, and then probably 90, something like that, 89, 90, I was able to, I think the internet allowed me to do the internet, more broadcasting around the world on the internet. But so I started my show, Don't Panic, It's Organic. I think it was, when I came here, it was 84, 85. So around that time, I was starting to hear about what was going on with Roundup in terms of, it talks about it in your book, the history of it. It's really very good. I really love it because it, you know, I've been saying the same stuff for years, and not too many people believe me. I mean, most of the people that believe me are basically considered nuts, you know, in terms of you're crazy, right? I was yelling about Roundup for a long time. I says, you're serious, right? And then when they started to come up with, okay, we're gonna do a modified organism, we're going to put Roundup in the modified gene so that we don't have to spray Roundup. And I'm going, excuse me, you mean you're going to spray more Roundup? And guess what they did? They sprayed more Roundup. So anyway, I have 10 questions I'm going to have to ask you because that's a good way to go over it, because if you leave it up to me, we can be on here for hours and it's okay. But why did you write this book? What do you hope to accomplish with it? Other than the fact, I hope that people will read it and I mean, people are, excuse me, but, you know, this is ridiculous in a lot of sense because I get calls, right? And it's, the other day I got a call, I go to people at the house, and they have a bottle of Roundup in the doorstep. The guy's getting ready to spray on the lawn.
Yeah. And somebody called you about that? Told you about
it? No. This person wanted me to talk to him about doing things organically. Why do I have this problem? Why do I have this problem? I stopped right there and I said, have you used that yet?
Yeah.
And he said, no, I'm getting ready to. Well, that could be part of your problem. How long have you been doing this? And he's been spraying on and off for a long time now. He doesn't know why his trees are having a hard time. He doesn't know why there's all kinds of problems going on. And I said, look, I'm not going to expose myself to this. I don't think you should be using that. And it's a long recovery process for you, because these people are not even thinking straight of why there's a problem in the first place. Anyway, tell me about what you want to happen when people read this book.
What do I want to happen? Golly, big question. Well, the reason I wrote the book in the first place is because I've been doing this research for 20 years. I started covering, as a journalist for Reuters, I started covering the industry in 1998, right? So I've been around for a long time following Monsanto and Dow and DuPont and Syngenta and the genetically engineered crops and all the different pesticides that are being used. And I've seen the research. I've talked to the farmers. I've talked to the people who have gotten cancers and diseases and Parkinson's, and looked at all of the evidence about what these pesticides are doing to our health and doing to our environment, and become really outraged by the ways that we've seen the chemical companies work to hide this information.
Yep.
And that's not some crazy conspiracy theory. That's what we see in the documents. It's documented through their own internal emails and through
the same thing with the sugar people. The same thing with the sugar people. They've been hiding that information.
Right.
You pretty much name any big company, they will hide.
Right.
You know, the oil companies, they knew about climate change, but you have to not only hide it, but put out the false information about it, fight it, so to speak, make people confused about it.
And there's a difference between just propaganda and sort of promoting your product and actively deceiving people about your product. And what we've seen with glyphosate and what we've seen with a lot of other pesticides that make a lot of money for big companies is this active deception to deceive the public and to deceive our lawmakers and regulators. So, you know, I've put all that together in this book, Whitewash, and told it through kind of human stories, through the farmers and through the scientists and through the regulators, you know, bringing all these people's experiences and stories together and with all the documents. And when you lay it all out there, it's a pretty damning portrayal of what we've allowed to happen, you know, to our food system, our food production, our farming, and our environment. And it's, you know, people tell me they read my book and they don't feel good. They get mad. They're pretty outraged after they read it.
You know what's going to happen, right? People are going to start, you're going to start reading this fake news stuff. You're going to get attacked all over the place too, because they're very good. It's just outright telling lies. Now it's, people no longer are worried about telling lies. They just go outright say lies. So are you getting any of that already?
Oh, golly, yeah. I mean, they have been coming at me for years. And then when the book came out, they really kind of launched, you know, new missiles my way. And they're trying to discredit me. They're trying to discredit the book. They put out a review, this group called BioFortified, which internal Monsanto documents referred to BioFortified as a partner of Monsanto. BioFortified pretends to be independent. But anyway, they put out a book review that said my book was not whitewash, it was hogwash, which is kind of clever.
You know, you have to just be twice as clever as they are, because you know how this, the recent shooting that we have and how the kids are uprising, and then these people are trying to, you know, make it look like they're paid actors, but the kids hidden right back where it hurts, right back into social media, and it backfired on them. That's what you got to do, because the truth, you know, is very important, and you just have to stick to that, because they will lie. Stick to the truth, because the truth, it's anybody can see eventually what is going on here. And it's not just in this field. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the agricultural field, all the pesticides and everything is being used there. You know, we're talking the medicine, you know. I mean, the food alone, the way the food is being transported around and all the different things that come with food, the story is the same. Let's lie, let's cheat, let's confuse.
Right, right. Well, what they are trying to do is they're trying to sell more product. They're trying to continue to bring in billions of dollars a year in sales and profits. And that's, you know, that's what their job is, really. I mean, that's the job of a company that's publicly traded and trying to please investors. But the public really needs accountability and honesty about the dangers, about the risks. And that's what the book tries to bring forward. Yes, there are some rewards with these technologies and these chemicals, but there are also many, many risks. And the risks have, you know, become incredibly enhanced with the widespread use of these chemicals. You know, the more we use of these chemicals, the more danger we bring for our health and our kids' health and our environment. And right now, nobody's trying to rein them in or trying to put any real checks or restrictions on this chemical use. You know, we have the new administration.
I was going to say, I bet you they really like you at the White House now.
Well, I mean, you look at what they've done with chlorpyrifos, which is an insecticide used in farming that's known to be so dangerous that because it affects children's brain development.
It's okay to use around schools.
It's been banned from household use because it's so dangerous, and it was supposed to be banned from food and farming. The EPA's own scientists say it's too dangerous to be in our food and in our water, and yet the Trump administration said, yeah, but we're going to continue to allow it to be in our food and our water because Dow Chemical wants it on the market, and oh, by the way, they gave the Trump inaugural fund $1 million. I mean, this is the way Washington works. It's not about public health. It's about protecting corporate profits.
Right, exactly right, especially since, you know, I do another show called The Garden in the Body, and we talk about one of the shows, we talked about the similarities between what Roundup does to the soil as to what toxins do to our stomach, to our bodies. And right. And then if you get Roundup in our bodies, which basically we're eating it, we're exposing ourselves to it in lots of different ways, as you know, right, from the outside and from the inside.
Mm-hmm. We eat it, right? Definitely. I mean, it's certainly been found in an array of food products. It's in our drinking water. It's found commonly in our urine. If you have urine tests run for glyphosate, you're almost certainly to find that weed killer present in your bodily fluids. And, of course, then we're exposed to it in our environment. It's sprayed in parks and playgrounds and, like you said, around children's schools, golf courses, you know, forests. And many of us, as you said, spray it in around our gardens and lawns.
And you know, I'm not a doctor, but isn't glyphosate? Isn't it an inhibitor? Doesn't it inhibit some type of enzyme production or something in the body?
Well, this is what is in the plant, and so it inhibits the plant's ability to essentially produce the amino acids essential proteins and things that it needs to survive. And so that's how the weeds die, essentially. And that type of pathway, that shikimate pathway, doesn't exist in the human body, but there is the theory and the belief that it does exist in this microbial community within
stomach.
our gut bacteria, right. And
exactly
so if
right.
you disrupt that, you can disrupt, you know, a whole array of, you know, necessary bodily interaction.
Well, they say your stomach is really the most important brain you got.
Exactly, right. So, you know, this is a developing area of research right now, but it's one that is extraordinarily concerning because, again, of the pervasiveness of this chemical. The book makes clear glyphosate is the most widely used agrochemical. It's very pervasive in our environment.
In the
but
world.
It's not the only problem. It's not. If you make glyphosate go away tomorrow, you haven't solved the problem. We see this with a whole range of other pesticides. Glyphosate is really the poster child, you know, for the problem.
We need to get a handle on this. People are dying. I'm going into business making, what are those space suits? You know, the helmet and everything with oxygen, because people are going to need that. I think the cars should be an environment with constant, like if it was in space, it would just recycle the air, get you clean air, because the air from the outside is, and my sense is, I, I, I want to wear a mask, wear gloves. It's like we're surrounded with toxins, and more everybody's saying it's just, you know, not only that, but I don't think your book doesn't really cover electromagnetic radiation, microwave, all these other types of toxins, which I consider toxins, as well. And so we're in this really cool soup of how to get rid of ourselves, right?
Basically. Yeah, I mean, definitely. The food and the exposure to pesticides is certainly not the only environmental contaminant, that is affecting our health. It's sort of one segment, one thing to worry about. And you're right, if you get caught up in everything that we're exposed to on a daily basis, it can be quite overwhelming.
I was driving the other day. I'm driving behind a truck. We're going downhill. The truck's on its brakes. You can smell the asbestos. I'm going, holy cow, that's pure asbestos going into the air from the brakes.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to be able to breathe that, are we?
It does feel like sometimes we just need to all move to a deserted island somewhere and try to have some restoration.
I think if we all move to a deserted island, that island is going to be really busy.
There you go. Yeah.
Right? There won't be any room. So it's really strange because, everywhere that I talk to, especially the regulators that regulate that are supposed to tell us if it's safe or not to use, they basically all say the same thing. No matter what happens, what the evidence is, it's totally safe to consume in our food. They can't all be paid off, can they?
Well, I mean, the regulators really rely very heavily on the manufacturers of the pesticides that are being sold. They rely on them to provide the safety data. They rely on them many times for guidance on how to even assess the safety data. And what we see in the documents is that when a regulatory body, someone within the EPA, disagrees with Monsanto, for instance, or disagrees with one of the big chemical companies and says, your data shows that this can cause cancer, the companies will push back and say, no, you're wrong. You're not assessing it properly. Let us tell you how to assess it. And we typically see them win. The companies prevail over our own regulatory scientists. And we see that over and over and over again. So, and this is happening again with chlorpyrifos right now. Our own EPA scientists say this is too dangerous to be in our food and water. We can't vouch for the safety of this. And yet it continues to be used on 40,000 farms, sprayed directly on our fruits and vegetables, being
consumed, especially here in California.
Right, being consumed by children and adults and, people who can be harmed by, cumulative residues of these harmful insecticides and weed killers and fungicides. And so saying that the regulators find it to be safe is sort of a false notion. I guess it's this false safety net that the big companies love to trot out there. But the reality is that to a certain extent, they control what the regulators say and do.
And I love the way they get away with it, because if you ever were to buy the product, they'll say this is safe if used accordingly.
Right, to the label. Yes, exactly, to the label.
And
in many real world situations, that's just not even practical or doable.
No.
I mean, some of the new labeling on some of the new dicamba herbicides are, thousands of words long. It's, trying to do that and comply with that is dangerous. But the pesticide companies continue to say, it's safe, don't worry about it. The EPA will set tolerance levels and say as long as it's within these levels, it'll be safe. But then the companies will ask the EPA to raise those levels that are considered safe, and the EPA will continue to do that. What we say.
I noticed that the levels keep rising. Oh, it's okay to use it at this level now. Oh, it's okay to use it at this level. And what they're really saying is, on the other end, is we need to spray more. Tell people it's okay so we can spray more.
And that's what happens. And if you look at what our government tells us is the amount of safe pesticide residue on an apple, for instance, it's much higher than what a European would be told
exactly
is
right.
a safe level for the residue on an apple. So
and
there's
you,
no difference
me,
in the
no,
apple
no
or
level
the pesticide.
Is a safe level. I like kind of like zero level myself as a safe as
well,
a level
and,
of pesticide.
Yes, and many scientists, as we talk in my book, you know, I quote people from Harvard and elsewhere that say we haven't done the research. We've never done research to show what happens to our bodies when we eat this combination of pesticide residues year after year, day after day.
Exactly right. It's ridiculous. Any logical human being would say that's not good. It can't be good for our genes. It can't be good for our bodies. It can't be good for my brain. It can't be good. And then we have to take, I don't know, about, you know, flu shots after flu shots after shots after shots after shots. Not going down. It's the same thing in the agricultural field, you know, in terms of how people, you know, keep destroying the soil, then they're expecting good results from it, then having to put more. This one lady calls me and says, well, what can I spray to get rid of the grubs? what can I spray organically? Because my husband wants to spray this and to get rid of the grubs. I want to spray something organic. And I said, well, that's not the way it works. You know, the grubs are there because you're having a problem with your soil and you have to pay attention to that. And people don't get it. Same thing with our bodies. You know, we have to pay attention
right.
to the, you know, our bodies rather than, you know, take this pill so that we can continue to do whatever we wanted to do. What is the IARC? Is that like a pill, a new pill?
A new pill. International Agency for Research on Cancer, I think is what you're talking about there,
yes,
right?
Ma'am.
The
yes, ma'am.
Part of the World Health Organization. And this is a group. This is a story. Gosh, do we have time to tell the story? Because this is
oh,
so
yeah,
outrageous.
You- Sure.
This is
please.
This is the group that is part of the World Health Organization that, and it's a group of elite cancer scientists from around the world who are independent. They don't work for any chemical
right, so
company.
They know what they're talking about.
They don't work for any nonprofit environmental defense fund. You know, these people are
yeah.
independent scientists from like the National Cancer Institute or different universities, trained in epidemiology and toxicology and other types of disciplines, and they look at substances to determine whether or not they can be carcinogenic. And they've done this for years and years. Well, they looked at
right.
glyphosate, Monsanto's weed killer, and determined it to be a probable human carcinogen based on all the wealth of information and data that's available out there. And Monsanto just went crazy. And
yeah.
we see from internal documents that they prepared a whole plan to discredit IARC and try to smear
yeah.
the reputation of the scientists, using third parties to try to look like it wasn't coming from Monsanto, all sorts
yeah.
of tactics. And they've actually managed to get our House Republicans, led by Lamar Smith from Texas,
yeah.
they held a hearing a couple of weeks ago to strip funding from this cancer group. Now, incidents of cancer are rising in the United States. We have
yeah.
one in every three men and one in every two men, one in every three women who are now expected to be diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime. And our leadership wants to strip funding from the cancer scientists and protect the purveyors of these pesticides. It's the most outrageous thing. And a lot of people don't know that's going on.
Need to, you know, you would think that you would be interested in things that directly affect you and your family. It's absolutely amazing how things can just happen right in front of them, and they believe the TV, you know, the commercial, more than they do a scientist. Or, you know what I mean? I have my brother actually believes the world is flat. That's all I have to say. Okay.
All right. Well, there we go.
There.
And
it's absurd, yeah. And this is going on in this particular, you know, what would I say, White House, you know, and it's absolutely absurd because you can see what is going on in terms of let's get rid of all these stupid rules, right?
Right. I mean, the way I look at it is, you know, we've had this sort of collusion and support collaboration for corporate interests, you know, throughout different administrations,
yeah.
Republican and Democrat. But at least the Trump administration doesn't seem to try to hide it. You know, they're not very subtle about it. They just lay it out there that they're going to protect
right.
the corporations more than the public interest.
They do one thing and say something else. So they can say, we're really for you, we're going to be take care of the environment. At the same time, they pass other things as if we don't connect them. But people don't call them out on it. They don't say, well, excuse me, why? And of course, you're just like me. It's the first thing they say, who are you? To compare yourself to all these other people who know these chemicals. And it's absolutely true. It's something has to happen. Otherwise, we're all going to die because there won't be any more people left to use the chemicals. You know what I mean? Right?
Well, there's right? the thought, right. I guess there's the thought. I think that the leadership of the chemical industry will have, you know, pocketed their profits, though, well before then. So they'll be taken care of.
I think I hate to say this, but the medicine are right in line with what's going on with the agriculture. They're both maybe even run by the same people because they're going down the same identical path. Take more chemicals. These things are fine. Or you can eat all the junk food you want to take this pill. You know, it's the very same thing, just slightly changed a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know? Definitely. I mean, they survive and they thrive on, you know, making sure that the problems persist, right? And that the more problems they create, the more they sell pesticides to try to address the problems. It's like weed resistance, what we've seen with glyphosate. Weeds became very resistant because farmers were using it so much. And so rather than look for a sustainable solution to weed resistance, Monsanto and the other chemical players have said, no, let's just combine this with more weed killer and we'll spray greater amounts and more on our food.
So what they did was they said, okay, look, we're going to have to spray more, but it'll kill the plant. So I know, why don't we come up with a way so that we can spray more and not kill the plant? That's part of the reason right. why they came up with this.
Genetically engineered, right.
The Roundup, so they can spray more. But on the outside, they were saying, hey, we're going to come up with this thing that means you don't have to spray. We're not going to spray at all because it's already in the plant and they'll kill the bug and the weeds and you don't have to spray. In reality, they're saying, well, we're doing it because that way we can spray more without killing the product. So
it's a manipulation
of the scientific record, basically.
Yeah, but the data, I mean, even from our own USDA, the data shows very clearly that herbicide use has spiked, has increased in line with the expansion of genetically engineered crops. So they can't really fight that. Insecticide use is a different story, but the herbicide use has grown dramatically. And herbicide-tolerant crops are the most prominent type of genetically engineered crop. The crops that are out there in the world, there's 457 million acres, roughly, of genetically engineered crops that are planted every year. Most of those are not designed to be more healthy or be more nutritious or to yield more or to do better in drought. They are designed with one thing in mind, and that is to be sprayed directly with herbicide, weed killer.
Right.
That's the point. Of it all.
Right, exactly. One of the things I tell people is that I wrote one of my articles was there are good GMOs and bad GMOs. Trying to explain to people the difference between what you and I are genetically modified organisms. We're not identical to our parents. And as a gardener, I'm constantly doing genetically modified organisms because I have a tomato. I grow a bunch of them. I'll pick that best tomato and I'll grow that one again and do the same thing. I end up with the most amazing tomato you have, and that's a genetically modified organism. Those are okay. Genetically engineered organisms are the ones we have to be careful of. And then personally, I think that a corporation should own the rights to the genetically engineered organism, a way of doing things, because it should be open to the world sciences, because a good scientists will say, hey, we can modify this corn so that it'll be more nutritional, it'll grow in the heat, it'll need less water, and forget about adding the Roundup to it, any chemical to it. We can make an amazing corn, right, or any other thing. We can benefit mankind, especially now, you know, with the climate change, you don't have that much time to grow through a series of corn that it could grow, keep up, you know, that's... It should be open to the scientists so that the world, scientific world can use that for the benefit of mankind rather than benefit of one company.
Well, just saying. And that sounds like a wonderful thing. Of course, that's never the way it's going to be.
No, it's not.
This is about money. This is not about feeding people or saving the planet. This is about money. And again, I mean, we are a capitalistic society, especially in the United States. You know, we worship wealth. We worship Wall Street. I mean, that's the way
from
we
the
set
very
up
beginning,
our,
right? from the very
our
beginning,
economy, right?
right?
And the way we've set up Washington, D.C., money talks. So, you know, it really requires a pretty significant paradigm shift if you want this not to be all about money. Now, that said, individual choice, consumer demand, you know, how we spend the money in our pocketbooks does make a difference.
Exactly right.
You know, and food companies right now are aware that consumers have you know, wakened up to the pesticide residues in their food problem, and they are starting to demand that farmers reduce pesticide use, become more sustainable. You're seeing that change happen little by little. You know, they've moved away from.
You think so? Because I've been doing this a long time, and I don't see that many more people really demanding change than now before.
Well, the food companies, I've been meeting with some of the food companies, and so have others that I work with, and they are concerned. They saw what happened with GMOs. They saw the huge backlash and the spike in non-GMO food products that people love to buy, and they see the growth in the organic food sector, and they see this pesticide issue as the next wave of consumer backlash, and they're trying to get ahead of it to figure out how to source their grains and their other ingredients from growers who are either not using synthetic pesticides or are trying to reduce their use of synthetic pesticides. They're trying to get away from people. Some of the grain handling companies are telling farmers, we're not going to take your grain at all if you spray it with glyphosate right before you harvest it, which is what some farmers do. I mean, they're catching on, but it does require consumers to make their voices heard in what they want.
Here's something interesting, too. There's another approach. Confuse the customer even more. I went to this one place. I'm not going to give the name of the store because we all know the name of the store. But it basically said, I'm looking at it, and I said, everything here is grown to meet our rigid standards. It says, you know, it's grown in we take pride in taking care of the environment. It says every key word up there, the word organic or certified, of course, doesn't show up. And the bottom line is, it's fancy, it's best nutrition, right? Our workers are kept happy. We recycle. Okay, it seems really good, but you really look at the packaging, you go, wait a minute, this is not organic. There's chemicals in here, but it has sustainable over there, or says something close to that. Basically, not the same. You know, there's no certification for sustainability. They could say we're sustainable and they'd still be using the chemicals, you know. And that's confusing to me. Right. I'm looking at it, I go, no. It's just a fancy way of saying we put our label on this because that's what they do. They put their label on this as a product of the store. Therefore, it's, you know, they did that in the coffee. They do that everywhere in the store. And it's like, it's just, and the people say, look, I'm buying this. It's organic. I go, no, it's not. Sorry.
Right. Yeah, right. And you know, the different companies are doing that, and you probably could go on the website and look at their sort of sustainability report, and you could see what they are pledging to do or not do. I mean, you know, companies are trying, like I said, they're trying to figure this out. They haven't figured it out yet.
What does the
EPA
have to do
with
this? Aren't they supposed to, Environmental Protection Agency or the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, are these people supposed to be saying, or are they also just being run by might as well be run by the same companies is what I think, you know?
Well, you certainly see in the documents pretty cozy relationships. You know, we see Monsanto sends the EPA talking points. You know, we've seen that. We see that the FDA that is supposed to test, you know, foods every single year to look for pesticide residues, they never want to test for glyphosate. USDA is the same way. They try to skip testing for glyphosate because, you know, even though it's the most widely used pesticide, boy, they, you know, and we've seen some. There was an FDA chemist that did do some limited glyphosate testing, look for glyphosate, and he found it in oatmeal. He found it in honey products. And, boy, the FDA doesn't want him to test anymore. And I've got internal memos where they talk about not wanting to do that. They don't want the public to know about what they're finding. I mean, it's So, yeah, I mean, they're supposed to be protecting us, but you see that they sure are worried about protecting the corporations at the same time.
I think I don't know what to do, because you can't hire the fox to take care of the chicken coop.
That's probably a good way to say it. Yeah, there you go.
The chicken will say, well, what's that you're eating? And he says, I'm not eating anything. What do you mean? Nothing in my mouth. What? Right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's what it looks like. So what do we have to do about it? I mean, we have to do something, because the current administration says, told the EPA, don't, as a matter of fact, they have less people, right, and less regulations to deal with now, right?
Well, they certainly are trying to do that. They've been cutting staff, cutting the budget. They're trying to basically, you know, lighten restrictions on pesticide companies. So, you know, it's not encouraging, but it's going to really require people, consumers, voters, you know, who are concerned, to let their representative know they're concerned. You know, you've got
to
make
exactly
their voices
heard.
That's
exactly what it comes down to, right? We have to not only, we have to get involved where it counts. We have to vote these people out. Vote people in that will stand up for helping the earth and cleaning up the earth and helping people live healthier lives. At this rate, like I said, you know, we're not going to be around too long, because we have this climate change problem that we really should be dealing with right now, right? If you know what I'm saying? You know, we have this problem that we need to deal with, and it's not like we have endless amount of time to deal with this, because we have caused major problem to our climate. I mean, this is a different issue than the toxicity we have in our environment, or the what do they call that in the ocean with all the plastic is swirling around a couple of places,
I don't know, that's depressing.
And then we have we already have issues with radiation. Let's build more nuclear power plants. It's besides the fact that we have no place to store the nuclear waste stuff. I mean, there's tons of stuff. All of them, by the way, have to do with crossing these environmental boundaries. So we have already crossed them. So what do we say? Like, you know, what's the guy, the scientist that speaks through his throat voice? He's saying we have to just leave the earth and go pollute another planet.
Right? That's terrible. Yeah, I guess so. Maybe that's what they're working on, right?
Right. So people have to. What do we need to do? What's the first thing that a person should do? Call up, because you can't call anybody. Say, where do you stand on this? They'll basically lie to your face.
No, and you don't. But what you can do is you can email their offices. You can call local and state and federal, and have your position down there, so that, because they do, they keep track of how many emails, how many phone calls, what people are saying. You might not like the response, but somewhere it registers, and what I'm seeing people do locally that's really working is getting together with neighbors or friends or others, going to like their local school board or their county offices and saying, we don't want this sprayed anymore in our parks. We don't want these pesticides around our children. We don't want it in our neighborhood.
Well, that's what we're doing here in Malibu. Every time something happens, we go to the city hall, we get in the meeting, we say, excuse me, but you seriously have to keep using Roundup in our parks? And you seriously have to, right? Our latest issue was all the poison that they're using, different baits, right, are killing animals left and right. It killed that poor lion that used to live here, in the countryside from the baits, the poison baits.
It's a terrible situation. I was just in Malibu. I just got home Thursday. Beautiful place.
Right, it is. And, it's a countryside area. It's a little village outside of L.A., But I think that people have they're in a unique position. If Martin Sheen goes to City Hall and says, I don't really like that, they're going to listen a little bit more than it's a stranger did, So, and that's good. So it's coming along, but it still uses tons of chemicals left and right that seems to think it's okay. I think Roundup is still being used out there, and the same thing in the parks, for example. You have to, it's very hard to stop these people from doing these things in a natural park.
Yeah. You know? No, I mean, definitely. It's a hard road, and the only thing you can do is make choices that you feel are right for yourself. And if it's just limited to changing the kinds of foods that you eat, you know, and where you buy your foods, maybe that's all you do. You know, maybe you go march in Washington. I mean, different people have different, limitations and different levels of engagement.
Here's what I do.
But it all matters.
For me, I realized everybody does what they can in the form that they can do. And this is what I started a long time doing my radio show. I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be yelling from here. I'm going to be right here. I'm going to be yelling. I'll be talking to people, getting people to come on the show and talk to them, and then getting people to listen, because that's one way that I can help. If I can, somebody listen to the show and go, boy, I got it, right? And that's what it's all about. That's one reason why, you know, you are always welcome on my show here. I would love to have, you know, your experience and your knowledge is very, very rare. And anytime you want to come on and talk about an issue that you want to talk about, or people have questions for you, or if you want to go over more, I wanted to have you on as a regular. I don't know if you're into that kind of stuff.
Oh,
but,
great.
You know,
yeah.
You could do your own thing. I'll give you like a show. It's just up to you what it is that you want to get across to people. Because, I mean, I know that, well, I bought my book as Acres USA. I'm pretty sure you can get it. Go walk it to any bookstore and ask for it, right? Whitewash, right?
Yeah, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, both online, Barnes & Noble bookstores, independent bookstores. You can order it through Island Press, which is my publisher. But, yeah, I mean, Amazon is usually where a lot of people go, unless you boycott Amazon.
but, I love this chapter four, Wheat Killer for Breakfast.
Yeah.
No, we have Wheat Killer for Breakfast. We have a Wheat Killer for lunch and for dinner, too, you know.
And for dinner. It's the book that Monsanto doesn't want you to read. That seems to be something that gets people.
That's a good way to say that. You should have put that in the title, the book Monsanto doesn't want you to read.
Well, you know, it's not a book. When I started writing the book, I said, this is not going to be a book about condemning Monsanto.
Good.
And I didn't feel that it was.
Yeah, you don't want to fight them.
But then when you get to the end of the book and you've read everything that's gone on and you see all the documents and you see all the kind of corruption and collusion and the hiding and the secrecy, it's a bad book about Monsanto. Yeah, I mean, they have done some bad things. But it's not, as I said again, it's not just Monsanto. This is the way the chemical industry works to make money.
Listen, I have a question. So 2,4-D, right? You know what that is?
Right.
Okay, so didn't they sell the technology, Monsanto, to this, or license it to this other company so they could now do the 2,4-D, and other companies are going to be following too. Am I wrong?
Well, 2,4-D is a really old weed killer, right? It's been around longer than glyphosate. It's been around. It was a component of Agent Orange, the defoliant that was used in the war. So it's been around a long time. It's considered more dangerous in many respects than is glyphosate. It's rated a possible human carcinogen by IARC. But what's happened is because of the glyphosate-resistant weeds, they've now developed these genetically engineered crops, and that's probably what you're talking about with the genetic trait that resists both glyphosate and 2,4-D. So they're spraying glyphosate and 2,4-D on top of these new genetically engineered crops, and our FDA has said in these internal documents that they are expecting a 100-fold increase in the amount of 2,4-D usage on food, and so they really need to be monitoring the residues of the pesticide.
Right, and their logic is that it's totally safe if it's already in the gene. That's why it's safe to use the Roundup, because it's in the gene. It's not going to hurt you.
Well, there you go. I mean, there are a lot of people who disagree.
Exactly right. You know, I mean, I've disagreed all along. I said, well, have you tried it for 10 years? Why don't you eat this stuff for 10 years and study people, see what happens? You know, they did a study on rice, genetically modified rice, on kids, and they stopped the study because the kids who were actually taking it were having all kinds of problems. And that's why the reason why Japan was one of the first people to ban it, first country to ban it.
Yeah, there are a whole host of concerns with both genetically engineered crops and the pesticides that are used on them. That's for sure.
Well, this is something that I'm going to just use it as more and more reference. My new book is coming out, so it's a little too late. Maybe I might put it in the very end there, because I should have the chance to maybe slide something in there and mention the books. This is something else you got to read. But I want to go over more with you some more. And if you think about it and you want to be back on again, just let me know, and I'll be happy to go over a particular chapter or a particular thing that you want to get across. Or if you want to do like a news flash, this is what's going on now, or newsflash, I have to go hide in Turkey because they're after me, that kind of stuff, right?
Right. Well, one thing I would say or encourage, people follow me on Twitter if you want to, @carriegillum.com. I post new documents up there. I posted some new ones today and news. You guys have a big hearing coming up in California, March 5th. I'll be out there that whole week for the hearing. It's to look at the research in, under sworn testimony in a court of law by a federal judge overseeing it. To look at sworn testimony about the research about glyphosate and cancer.
Okay,
so
why don't you
hearing.
Report on it? Because
well, I will be.
We should get you back on the show and you could tell me what happened.
I mean, that's something to think about. That's a big deal and a big hearing coming up out in California.
Okay. Thank you for being on, okay?
Thank you for having me.
No problem. I know you'll be back on again.
It's fun to talk to you. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye
now. Okay, everybody, so this is Andy Lopez. You're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. A few things before I'm trying to get my music back on, but the TV must be sleeping. There you go, come back on. So my new book is coming out soon. A couple of weeks. And it's called Don't Panic, It's Organic. It's going to have some really cool, amazing artwork on it by Cindy Berry, my daughter-in-law. You can get it through my website, but you will be able to get it almost everywhere. I have my books, my music, this stuff here. Oh, it's quiet now. Oh, look at this. Made them. Okay. Music. That stuff. All right. You can stop now. All right. It's called Inner Gardening. It's now, I'm starting to sell it on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon. You name the place. Any place that you buy music online, you'll probably see it there. Just type Invisible Gardener and check it out. I have one album up already called Alien Skies. I have over 30 or 40 albums. And so eventually I'll get them all up there. 99 cents each. And I think the album's $1.99, something like that. So check them out. You know what? You can type in Invisible Gardener and just spell Gardener right? Otherwise, you won't find it. Stop by invisiblegardener.com, check out my blog. I have a TV show. Of course, the Inner Gardening music is up there. If you really need, if you need any help when gardening, I tell people I don't do marital problems, but I'll give it a shot. There are different ways. You can contact me here through the radio show. You can send email to andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. You're welcome. Always welcome to join. Membership is only $20 a lifetime. Right now, up until February 28th, so by the next show, it'll be over with, I have 50% discount. So, yeah, membership is $20. You only get it for $10. If you want to get my ebook, it's $10. You get it for $5, and so forth, okay? And so the grower's kit, normally $100, you get it for $50. So you got 4 days left. Also, we have a contest. It's going to be over with soon, so you need to go up to invisiblegardener.com. Click on sign up for the newsletter. You'll see one of the boxes that will say contest. Make sure you click on that one. And click on the radio show if you want to get information on the radio show. And then instant winner. You'll win a lifetime membership for free. It'll be over with by the end of February. So let me play this music for you. And I think Mr. Engineer said that normally I may have some time afterwards. I'm not really sure now. But it looks like I'm going to play this anyway, so you see I wrote, you might find this interesting. So I did a country music. Yep, here you go. My first country music. Okay, everybody, this is Andy Lopez. You're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. We'll be on again next week. Same time, same place. Take care now. I think Mr. Engineer might be around here somewhere, but I don't see him. So if the silence... Oh, there he is. He's got it. No, I have to go now. I do. I do have to go now. I have a rose pruning crew waiting for me outside. I volunteer my time today. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. See you next Saturday.